Hello, everybody. My name is Lynn, and I didn't introduce myself last night. I am your speaker chair. I'm the one who spoke on Friday night last year and was scared and afraid of flying. And I want to say to the newcomer that this program will save your life. It will save your life. The people in this room and my higher power have helped me release 120 pounds. And I'm standing here with some high-powered people, and they're throwing curveballs, and I'm just flowing and glowing. After 2 years of wanting this lady to speak on acceptance, I'd like to introduce you to my dear friend, Suzanne.
Thank you, Lynn. And I am Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. Buenos dias, soy Susana, comedor compulsivo. Okay. my cheering section's over there. Okay. So I'm going to qualify. I've been abstinent 15 years, 3 months, and 16 days. And I normally don't count days. I just say abstinent since April 6, 2003. But maybe here is appropriate to count the days. And I'm a food inventory step sponsor, not at maintenance yet, I'm getting there. And I sponsor many people, and I am sponsored by a beautiful woman who keeps me grounded. And so do my sponsees. A lot of my sponsees keep me, you know, in step. But what I wanted to say is it's a great theme today. I was preparing my weighed and measured breakfast in my hotel room this morning, trying to get the flat screen microwave to work. If you're blind, it's a little difficult, but I got it done because I'm a compulsive eater and I had to get that first meal in. And so I was doing that when Lynn called me and asked me if I had anything nice to wear today because she wanted me to speak. I've been told when you're asked to be of service, you don't say no, but I went to bed at 1 a.m. last night, you know. I really wasn't prepared to speak. But I said yes, and then I got into fear and called my sponsor, and she said, well, what's the subject, what's the theme of the convention? And I said, acceptance. She said, you're in, you're going, and you'll be great. So here I am. It's a great topic, a great logo, a great everything. I have had to accept a lot of things in my life, and first of all, I want to do a shout out to the newcomer returnee because we need you. If you are new or returning, give yourselves a round of applause right now. And please do not leave before the miracles and the promises come true, because they do come true. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they do happen. And I am a living example of that. I'll just tell you a little bit about what I was like, but I want to tell you the process that I've been blessed with here and how. I had been in another program a long time ago. It had a food plan. It had some structure. That was in Mexico. I came back here to have eye surgery, lost my abstinence, lost my eyesight. Actually, I lost my eyesight first and lost the abstinence. So I was abstinent when I lost my eyesight. But then I had 5 years on my own, sponsoring myself, and I was a horrible sponsor. And don't do it. I've been there, done that one. Don't do it. Sometimes I could lose weight. I even got close to goal weight a few times. But most of the time, I was not, and I was into the food. And most people did not really know, because I was not at that time at my heaviest weight. So I'm 5'1", and my heaviest weight that I know of is 225, probably a little more than that. And I don't have a picture. I had a picture. I had an 8x10, you know, big picture, so everybody could see it. But when I was moving some of my stuff back from Mexico up here, a friend of mine mistakenly, well, she took it upon herself to throw away all my pictures because I can't see anymore. And I wish she wouldn't have done that, but it is what it is. So I remember the picture. So everybody imagine, here I am, 5'1". I'm wearing a bubblegum pink t-shirt, 4X. My hair is really long, really blonde. I'm smiling. Supposedly. I'm smiling, standing next to my very good friend who's pregnant. And she, like I, when we're thin, our faces are very thin. And when she's pregnant, her face filled out. You know, she's not a compulsive eater, so she was at a healthy weight, 6 months big in the family way. And she was just so, I'll never forget how beautiful she looked in the picture. And there I am standing with her with my arm around her, and I'm smiling, but I look sad. There's sadness behind my eyes, and I don't look well. And I'll never, ever, ever forget that picture. I am not that person that I was in that picture. Because today I get to have a happy, joyous, and free life because I got to do a lot of acceptance along the way. So all in those 5 years, I kept praying for a solution. I needed a program with structure and discipline and a mandatory food plan. And thankfully, my art teacher at school 12-stepped me into how. I went to my first meeting, a very large meeting. No one was available. But inside, I thought, I have to have a sponsor before I leave here. Well, the person that brought me to the meeting was on the same page. And she said, we're not leaving till we get a sponsor for you. And she got someone. And I said, you didn't stand up as available. And she said to me, I was waiting for you. And a very no-nonsense lawyer-type person. And I was a little fearful. I thought, oh, no. But she was so loving to me. Very structured, very disciplined, but very loving. And she was my sponsor for a while. She left for a while, then I got another sponsor. She calls herself a fabulous female in recovery. And she's been in the rooms 53 years. I just gave her a candle for 23 years of continuous abstinence a couple of weeks ago. And I needed a sponsor that has never left. I needed that because my thinking was, even though I knew I'm a lifer, I'll always be a compulsive eater, my thinking was I'll get to my goal weight and I'll leave until my life changes because I had to take care of my mother. When I went blind, my mother went into heart failure and almost died, and I ended up caring for her right after I went blind. And I was, you know, here in Los Angeles, didn't know anybody. Everything was back in Mexico, my dog, my cats. I was on my way to being the crazy cat lady. Program saved me. But everything, my structure, my support people were in Mexico. But I took care of my mom. And that was my plan. You know, I had the plan, the wrong plan, that I would leave. And then when my mom was in a better shape or no longer with us, I would come back. But you know, God has a sense of humor. Because I never got to goal weight. By the time I figured that out, oh, I haven't gotten to goal weight. It's been how many years? I didn't want to leave. And I stayed. And so I did get, I never said how much. Did I say how much I lost? I lost 85 pounds. Okay. Need to lose another 20, but I'm on my way. Thank you. I thought, okay, I still need to lose weight, and I haven't gotten to goal weight. I've been here how long? I am not leaving because of the emotional and spiritual recovery that I found here in these rooms. I learned a lot about myself. I learned I didn't like changes. And the speaker chair can speak to that because she knew me when my apartment had been sold, my apartment building, and the new owner to drive everybody out tore the apartment building to pieces. I had noise from 7 a.m. till sometimes 8 p.m. at night, non-stop noise. When my mom broke her arm and the nurse said, well, you know, usually people that are break a bone at that age usually die within a year of either pneumonia or an infection. I thought, thank you for sharing. I told my sponsor, and my sponsor said, well, you're in program. You have a program. You have a choice. You can either be miserable, and you know how to do that, or you can live today and enjoy each moment you have with her, whether it's a day, a week, a month, a year, or 10 years. You enjoy the time you have and stop getting into she's going to die. So I enjoyed my mom, and I have no regrets. Well, I take that back. I always have a couple of regrets. But I never left. I never went to sleep at night without telling her I loved her. We never went to bed angry. And that's hard to do when you're taking, you know, two women in an apartment building. I mean, one-bedroom apartment, two women. But we never went to bed angry. And I have a lot to be thankful for this program. It helped me to be patient with her. Because I was patient for the big things. I was not real patient with little things. And having the sponsors that I had at the time, a lot of people said, God bless you. I learned patience. But most importantly, I learned to be patient with myself. I learned I didn't like changes, big or small, or good or bad, and I learned to accept that. It came to me during a big book meeting. I'm like, oh, I never knew that I didn't like change. I lived on my own for 4 years after my mom died, and because my apartment building was sold, I had to move in with my boyfriend. It kind of forced us to grow up, and I was fearful of getting married because I didn't know how to be a wife. And my sponsor reminded me, you didn't know how to take care of your mother, but you figured it out. You didn't know how to be a girlfriend, and you figured that out. You'll be fine as a wife. But I have to say, I also had to get outside help. I went to a 12-step therapist with him. And thankfully, he wanted to go to therapy. His mother is still with us. She's 90, and she said, my son is a good person, but he's lived alone all of his life, and he does not like change. You better go to therapy. So, you know, we have that in common. We don't like change. We don't like to share space. We like our own time alone. It's a good match. And it's a good match. He supports me in program half the time, and the other time, oh, that darn program. And yet, he helped me do something, the talent show. Hopefully next year, we'll see. He does support me. Before we travel, he calls restaurants in Atlanta, here in Las Vegas, Hawaii. Can you help my wife? She has a food plant. She has food allergies. Can you help her? He'll do that. And I'll say, but you don't want me to be in program. Yeah, I know, but it's good for you. So I got a wonderful husband. He doesn't swear, and he doesn't, he's not a compulsive eater. Well, maybe a little bit, but mostly not. And doesn't swear, never drinks, doesn't smoke, never did any drugs of any type. But I had to be where I am today to get him. Because when I first got back to LA, I had a boyfriend, good person, very good person. But he had an addiction. He was, a pothead, which I didn't know when I first started dating him. I thought, is this my life? Is this going to be my life? I never knew I was going to hitch my wagon to his horse or vice versa. But it was convenient because we went out and I got to do a lot of things. But I never thought, this is the person. And it wasn't until I got into program and I'd already met my husband. We were friends. And in fact, we'll celebrate our anniversary of dating the 24th. So he's flying into Vegas to be with me so we can celebrate our dating anniversary. So he's going to stay a few days with me. But the point is that I knew that I was not in a place to have a serious relationship. I was not. I was immature, and I've known that for a very long time. And this program taught me to grow up. I've always been responsible when it comes to other people. I took wonderful care of my mother. All her doctors say so. She said so. I did not know how to take care of myself. I cooked abstinent food for my mom when I was in program, and I had it, you know, obviously because I was abstinent. But I did not take care of myself and my needs. It got to the point where I did have to have time alone. I would get up. If I had to get up at 4 in the morning to have an hour to myself, I did it. I would have an alone time. I would exercise because that was my form of meditation. I'd get on the treadmill at 4 in the morning and pray and meditate. Because I needed the exercise. It helped relieve stress. Because it was stressful taking care of my mom at times. I'm grateful to my mom because she did give me a lot of tools in life. She didn't have all of them, but she certainly had a lot more than my poor grandmother, her mother. Just briefly how I got here, and I know my time's almost up. My grandmother used to humiliate me before all of her friends. She'd go down the row of pictures and she'd say, this is my grandson, he's this and that. That's my other grandson, that's her brother, he's in the Air Force, he's in pararescue, he does da-da-da-da. And her friends would say, well, what about Suzanne? She's nothing, she's handicapped. Thank God for Margie from Chicago. She would say, now Bonnie, you know that she's a straight-A student. You stop that. Suzanne, you go outside and play while I put your grandmother in her place. And thankfully, you know, so my mother took me away from my grandmother, and because that started, I owe the Serenity Prayer. That's another story for another day. I'm very grateful to the Serenity Prayer because it saved me from being put in an institution because when I was 3, I was diagnosed with being blind, deaf, and mentally retarded, and the doctors wanted that. And my mother sat at the top floor of the hospital wanting to jump out with me, and then she remembered the Serenity Prayer. And she thought, God is going to show me how to take care of this little girl. She's mine. I'm not going to put her away. I'm grateful she didn't do that. You know, so I owe my mom in the Serenity Prayer a big debt of gratitude. If you are new or returning, please stay. I am a responsible person still working on myself. I still have a lot to work on, but I enjoy my life. I was able to go swimming with the dolphins in Hawaii by myself. My husband doesn't like animals. I went by myself. And I got to spend an hour with a 23-year-old dolphin and swim with him and feed him and pet him and all in different places. I was surprised about that. They have sex for fun, I was told, just like humans. So I would never have done that. It would never even have occurred to me to go swimming with the dolphins by myself. This program, I've got to do so many things because I get to walk with God. God is always with me. He's always there. I just have to reach out and feel his energy. God is always with me. I'm never alone, and neither are none of you are alone. If you're new or returning and you feel like I'm not really belonging, don't worry. Soon you'll fit right in the middle of the herd. You're safe here. You belong here, and I was like that too. I am no longer that. Please come join me in this process, this path of life, and join us on the happy road to destiny as I trudge forward in love and light with all of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, standing. Standing. Do we have any problems? Is that acceptance? Well, some of you know Lynn speaks from her heart. If Suzanne can do it, any one of us can do it. And our petty differences, forget it. Next speaker, Miss Judy. Judy, I've been here 8.5 years, coming up on Tuesday. Judy is an inspiration of heart, service, inspiration, and staying out of personalities. Here's Judy to speak to you on acceptance, ... Take it away, Judy.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna stand up just because it helps me with nervousness. I'm Judy Kay. To qualify, I've been abstinent on maintenance 16 years, 4 months and 18 days. And released 34 pounds, but the main thing for me is that amazing emotional and spiritual recovery, as well as the physical. Now, I know you've all eaten lunch and you're probably tired. And many of you know me, so I'm going to start with a little song. And we did this already. And if you want to say the word with me, you can. So here we go. I've got step one, acceptance. I've got step two, faith. I've got step three, surrender. Who could ask for anything more? All those troubles, they can't find us. They can't find us behind any door. 'Cause I've got step one. I've got step two. I've got step three. Who could ask for anything more? We actually did that in Las Vegas many years ago, if you remember. But this reminds me, what is acceptance? It's step one. I am powerless over food, people, situations, anything except myself. And that's acceptance, step one. It took me a long time to get to acceptance of my disease. I have to tell you, I joined the sister program in 1986. And I went into a meeting. It was in Great Neck, New York. I sat in the back and I thought, I want what these people have. I want to be thin. I want to have that joy. And then I'm going to leave because I'm really not like them at all. I was in total denial, and such denial that even with the big book, I covered it in paper. When I had to do those first 30 questions, I was a teacher, and I didn't want anyone to think I was like an alcoholic. Oh, my. It took me many slips. You know, I would go out, I would slip, and it was like witnessing my disease. Bird was watching me. And I thought, oh, you know, they're right. I can't eat one of those things with sugar and flour. I am addicted. And little by little, I was able to accept. But I don't think I fully accepted my disease until after I was married. And it was 2001, November, when I got married and we went on our honeymoon. I thought, oh, you know what? Now I have the husband I want. We bought a house together. I have a good job. I'm happy. I don't really need this program. So on our honeymoon, I started to fool around. You know, they had desserts and I didn't really gain weight, but it was from December up to March when I said to myself, you know what? Everything I have will disappear like that if I don't stay in recovery. And everything I had was because I was in recovery. I could love this man because I could give something to him because I had something from my higher power. I was abstinent. And so I realized on a deep level that it doesn't really matter if I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm angry, whatever I feel. I was born a compulsive eater. I will always be a compulsive eater. And I think that acceptance was the beginning of my recovery. There's someone in this room who always likens recovery, Ruth, to being on dialysis. And, you know, what if the doctor said to you, you need dialysis, you have to go 3 times a week, your kidneys are failing. And you said, oh no, that couldn't be true. I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's kind of what I did with my disease, because I would say, oh, we have this great program of recovery, but, you know, I'll do some of the tools, I won't do this, I won't do that, you know, until I finally realized on that March, was March 3rd, 2002, that this is my medicine. I'm so lucky we have this program. You know, other people have diseases, they don't have medicine. They haven't discovered them. But I have 7 tools and 12 steps. And that's all I have to do to be recovered from this disease. And there's something about when you accept something, all of a sudden it becomes easy. You know, it's like, ah, no war in my head. This is what I have to do. Okay. And I really started taking the program very seriously. I want to share something that's really beautiful. When I got to maintenance, I did the step-up ceremony in maintenance. And it's right in the maintenance book in the back of it. You light candles, and different candles stand for different things. There's one candle that stands for self-acceptance. And I'm going to read you what this says. This is the candle of self-acceptance. It indicates that we are part of God's plan and that He loves us enough to accept us and help us in recovery. I get chills on this. He has waited for us to accept ourselves as loving and caring human beings who are worthy of having a God of our understanding. Maintaining is the second gift along God's path. The first is the gift of abstinence. So, I mean, it really is all about self-love. I could never accept myself when I was in my disease. There was always a war in my head? Do I eat it? Do I not eat it? Will people notice that I gain weight? Will they think I'm fat? But as soon as I surrendered to the disease, it's like, I hope none of you take this badly, but I don't really care what you think of me. Because... I have a higher power, I have a sponsor, I have a way of bringing that love, and I always see it like sunlight of spirit. You bring it in through the top of your head, through prayer, meditation, and that's my way of loving myself. I have to say, Ruth again taught me something very important. I was on the physical part of this program for a long time, if you can do the math. And finally, she said at a meeting, I will never forget it, I hope it's okay if I quote you, that if you stay in the physical recovery and fight your abstinence, go back and forth, you will never have the emotional and spiritual recovery. You have to fight for that physical abstinence, and then the promises start to come true. So with that, I started to fight for my abstinence and really worked hard on that black and white abstinence, committing my food, doing my questions, doing the seven tools, and the promises, so many of them have come true for me. I'm just so grateful. I want to talk about my experience this year. As many of you know, my husband was diagnosed with kidney cancer. And this was probably the hardest year that I've had. So many things have happened. We live in Durango. There was a fire 1 mile from our house, huge fire. We had to pre-evacuate. Bob had to go into surgery, all these things. So I call this my acid test. Does the program really work if you can get through these things? And what happened with Bob was he had no symptoms. He was just diagnosed through a bone scan. And we were like, la-di-da, we're going to Tucson, we'll be back. And the doctor says, no, this is very aggressive cancer, you have to do something. So very often in acceptance, I need to sleep on it. I was just overwhelmed, Bob was overwhelmed. And there's something about the pause, the great pause, or sleeping on something, where God brings the answers. Like, what are we going to do? And we woke up in the morning, and just Bob was said, let's be open. I'm going to network with everyone about what to do. And I had scheduled this luncheon at my house. I was going to cancel it. It was to get to know the people, the neighbors. But I thought, okay, I will go ahead with this luncheon. Well, when you say to God, bring a solution, and you accept what's going on, it's amazing what happened to us. One of the people that I didn't even know at the luncheon was a nurse. And she said, you need to go to Mayo Clinic in Rochester. They're the best with kidney cancer. And she talked to us for a long time. Bob said to me, you know what? We'll never get in there. I said, don't say never. We have a connection here. they got an appointment 2 weeks later. He got into Mayo. And the doctor said, this is aggressive. Can you just stay here? And we decided, okay, we'll just stay here. And a week later, he had surgery. And it was all through accepting, what is the next step? What is the next right action? I just have to tell you, because this is what's so beautiful about our program. I'm on phone bridge a lot right now, because I live in a place where they don't have live meetings. Do you know that those people on phone bridge, they send cards, they send quotes, and they prayed for Bob, they sent shawls, and my good friends here called me. One said, I will talk to you through the whole procedure, you know, while he's in surgery. And another said, I'll fly out if you need me. We have a beautiful fellowship. Anyway, miracles happen. Bob, one of his kidneys was out, and we went back 3 months later, and the doctor said, "You are cancer-free." We don't want to see you for 6 months. And we did the happy dance. But what is so beautiful is that I was able to stay abstinent, you know, through the whole time. It was a miracle. And I just want to read you on acceptance. We all know page 417. I love this. "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today." The second line I'm going to read you is, "Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake." I love that, because if I accept that, okay, God sent this situation, what am I going to learn from it? And I just want to mention real quickly some tools that I use that help me get into acceptance. Writing a letter to God. "All right, God, what do you want me to learn from this?" And I knew with Bob, I was there to be of service. I was learning strength, courage, and tolerance, you know, just saying, doing what I could. Taking a problem through the 12 steps. And if any of you don't have that sheet, I have it online. Someone presented that. You go through each of the steps with whatever problem it is. Putting it in my God box and asking God to help me. And outreach calls. Oh my God, talking to others, which takes it out of the fantasy and puts it in the light of day. I'm telling you, we have, look around. All these people could be future outreach calls for you. And everyone has a story to tell, or information, or, you know, whatever is going on. It's so, so beautiful. So I have 1 minute. I'm just going to end with, I don't know if you've ever seen this. These are all of our prayers. And the first step prayer, which is about acceptance, is just saying, I'll read it. "Dear God, remove me from all denial. Today, I ask for help with my addiction. Denial has kept me from seeing how powerless I am and how my life is unmanageable. I need to learn and remember that I have an incurable illness and that abstinence is the only way to deal with it. Amen."
Profiles and courage. Our next speaker is Miss Jan D. And thank you, Judy, so much. She has 14 years and 11 days of abstinence today, and says service keeps her here one day at a time. And I can say the reason I picked her is she walked the road ahead of me, and I've seen her walk with dignity through situations that, well, we're glad you're here and you are huggable. Take it away, Jan.
Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Jan D., compulsive eater, and this is a tough act to follow, both of you gals. Awesome. Thank you all for being here. And I see so many beautiful faces. Such encouragement coming from all of my friends here. Today I am just totally, totally grateful and in acceptance. I can remember early in program, I have no idea what I'm going to say. Whatever God wants me to say and somebody needs to hear will come out of my mouth. But I was thinking, Judy stood up and she said it helps with nervousness. I'm kind of the same way, but I have to move around a little bit. So it's kind of nervousness, but I remember seeing people when I was early in program. Actually, one of my role models is sitting here beside me in the red blouse, and she was wearing red that day too when I met her. It was at my first meeting in Las Vegas, and it was my first intergroup meeting, and I was I think like 2 to 3 months abstinent. And I saw this woman standing up and sharing, "I am happy, joyous, and free," with this beautiful smile on her face. And I am like, nobody can be that happy, joyous, and free. Well, today I thank Miss Judy, I thank my higher power, I thank this program and all of you. You are all my family, my friends, and my you saved my life. And you're what keep me here. My higher power, I didn't have a higher power. My group was my higher power in the beginning, and that worked for a while. And you know, our theme today is acceptance. Well, I didn't know what acceptance was or understand until I was in this program for a while. Growing up, the term acceptance, my head defined as resignation. I grew up in a family, I lost my mom when I was 9, and my dad remarried. And growing up, you know, as a young child, I remember us, as well as I can remember, we had a very loving family, very close. Mom and Dad were so involved in our lives. There were 3 kids. I was the youngest. And then Mom died after an extended illness, and my dad remarried a young woman, 13 years younger than him, and so I ended up with a stepmother 8 years older than me. And she had never had kids. And she, you know, she takes on these 3 almost teenagers. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. I learned resignation very quickly. You did what you were told, when you were told, the way you were told, or at least you tried, and we were expected to know without being taught. And so life was pretty rough. And that's when I became a compulsive eater. That was the only comfort I could find. I mean, it was a house filled with rage and everything else that goes along with it. So food was my release. It was my friend. That was the only friend I had. And I managed to get food any way I could. When I grew up and left home, I went to school, and we had free food in the cafeteria, so I took advantage of that, and that's when I really became, where I started to blossom. Oh boy, did I blossom. I tried every diet in the book, and finally, when I was, I lived here in Las Vegas in 2002 for the whole year. I worked here. My husband kept our home in Arizona, and to me, that was the greatest thing. I was on my own. I could do what I wanted when I wanted. And I ended up with by profession, a registered nurse, and I loved home health, so I got a job in home health. And it was a kind of company that didn't replace the people who quit, so I worked 16 hours a day, you know, for like 3 weeks straight, and then I'd get a couple days off. And guess what I did when I wasn't working? If I had a chance to sleep, I would, and other times, the rest of the time I was eating. After that year, I went home weighing the most I had ever weighed. I was at least 220. I'm sure it was more than that because I have pictures of myself. And I had maxed out all of my credit cards, because I bought a car for my husband because I felt guilty for being in Vegas, and he was home with a little old truck that didn't even have air conditioning, so I bought him a car. Hey, that was love. But and also I was a full-blown workaholic. I couldn't, you know, I just And it occurred to me after I got into recovery that, hey, I was running away. I was running away. But the problem was I was running away from myself, and I was always there. I just couldn't get away from myself because I didn't like myself. And I was still very resigned to whatever my lot in life was. And I was approaching the age of 60, and I said, I was working close to home then, and I said, I'm not going to turn 60 weighing 220 pounds. I won't do it. And so I found a diet, the ultimate diet, and I lost 40 pounds. And then I had my last first bite, which led to 8 months of a binge. And a gal I worked with was passing in the hall one day. It was just her and I. And I says, hey, so-and-so, I hear you've lost weight, and you're not gaining it back, just like the rest of us are gaining it back. And she says, well, I go to meetings, and I follow a food plan. You're welcome to come to a meeting tonight. I was there. And that was July 8th, 2004. And so July 9th, I ate everything in sight. There was nothing left in my office that I didn't eat. I stopped, I think, at every store on the way home and bought whatever I wanted. And July 10th, I woke up in the morning and I said, today's the day, because I know that my higher power, you know, did it again, hit me on the head with a 2x4. And there I was. I said, today's the day. I have everything I need and I'm going to do it. And I thank my higher power every day. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still abstinent. I have to qualify that, and that was true acceptance. That was my first inkling of what acceptance was. But I have to qualify it because there have been times, and this is, I have to be just very aware all the time. And continue to do my tools every day, my reading, my writing, my prayer, my meditation. You know, I do it in my own way, what works for me. And but I have to be careful that my abstinence isn't just from flour and sugar. I've had very, very slippery slopes with emotional relapse, with, you know, and sometimes I lose conscious contact with my higher power, and I have to just get back to basics and do my reading. I love step 11. It always grounds me. It really does. And I just read the whole chapter, and I'm like, okay, God, it's your turn. Tell me what to do. In 2009, we had a Area 2 assembly here, and here in this in Las Vegas. And the theme was surrender. Well, I knew who my higher power was, but I wasn't truly surrendered yet. But I walked out of there, and I knew. And I was able to walk up to someone and say, God is my higher power. This is the God of my understanding. You have whoever you are, and I know who I have now. And it was such a true blessing. The first time that I remember God actually talking to me was the day that I retired. I was working in a hospital. I had developed rheumatoid arthritis, and I could barely walk, and I was late for work every day. I couldn't even wake up from the fatigue and so on. And I had missed a meeting with my boss. She knew I was thinking about retiring, and she said, come into my office. She says, Jeanne, why are you still working? I said, I don't know. And I didn't have an answer for that. And I said, can I leave now? and she said, no, give me 2 weeks. So I gave her 2 weeks, and 2 weeks I was out of there. But that was the moment. I know it was my higher power talking to me, because that was the moment that I could surrender and be free of my fear of economic insecurity. That was the only reason I was still working. Because I had to get my finances in order. They're still not in order, but they're a lot better, and I don't have the fear of it. I am not worried about it because I do the best I can. I know my higher power's guiding me. He didn't give me any more money. You know, and it stays what it is. Just ask the government. And but I don't worry about it. I do my tools. I follow what I need to follow. Throughout the rest of my, you know, since then, since 2009, I've had a few things happen. And every time it happens, you know, I know. Sometimes I'm a little dense. And, you know, again, God has to hit me over the head with a 2x4 to get my attention. So something will happen. The real classic here was, this was in, this was just 2 years ago, in October. I was starting to fail again physically and kind of mentally. I was getting a little slow, and I thought, well, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. It's the age. Are we still alive? It's maybe the rheumatoid arthritis. I was, you know, lost a lot of the use of my hands. I had a lot of pain all the time, and I thought, oh, that's the arthritis. But they were hurting all the time. I wasn't able to type. You know, I couldn't even send emails. I had to do my questions in the morning. I had to give them verbally because I couldn't compose a sentence. I was losing my balance. Well, I was babysitting my granddaughter, and I went, we had gone to the store, came out of the store and crossed a sidewalk. Well, I tripped on the sidewalk. And at least I thought I did. I fell flat on my face. Flat on my face. And I thought, my nose is broken. It wasn't, anyhow. But I was a mess. But went to the emergency room and they did a CAT scan of my head. And they found a brain tumor. And I'm like, well, okay. That was my first exercise in acceptance. I was like, okay. I knew. I didn't trip on the sidewalk. God stuck his foot out and tripped me. Because had that not happened, I wouldn't know about the brain tumor. Fortunately, it was big enough, it had to be taken out. But it was benign, and for that I'm totally grateful. But he also put me, it happened in a place where they had, it was out in California in Riverside, at the hospital there, the neurosurgeon who was on call, I mean this is such a God thing, the neurosurgeon who was on call was someone I knew from my past as a nurse in Pittsburgh. And it was like, I know you. And I had such faith in his abilities, in his skill. God put him there. Within 2 weeks, I mean, everything just fell into place. I had the surgery within 2 weeks. Everything turned out fine. And I am just, here I am. Now you can't shut me up. Except Deborah can shut me up. She gave me 1 minute. 1 minute. But that's kind of the level of acceptance. And you know, through the grace of my higher power and the love of my group and my fabulous sponsor, who's been with me for a number of years. We lost count a while back. And just all of you being my friends and family. I've recovered from that. I've had other issues, and I get over those. And acceptance is the answer. It's no longer resignation. And my life is it's life on life's terms. But I can take it just one day at a time and be so grateful. And thank you all for listening.
That's what I wanted to say on the intro. Thank you. Lisa. Met Lisa on a spiritual meeting where she works as a team with another person, and if there's a glitch, they don't make it a crisis. It's really quite spiritual and wonderful. And what Lisa has taught me is how to be loving and help other people that are going through things. Accept it and walk with dignity. and stay abstinent. Keep an eye on your time, and Deborah's got your back. 5 minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
I can talk loud, but not that loud. Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm compulsive eater. Gratefully recovering. This is a God deal. The fact that Lynn would ask me to talk about acceptance this year, with all the things going on, the things I've had to accept, and I'm not the person who is likely to just go, oh, sure, not a problem, I'll do that. When I, years ago, heard and read the acceptance chapter in the big book, and it said, and acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, I thought, come on. I was fortunate enough to hear a tape that I got from a sponsor years and years ago that was done by we called him Dr. Paul, Dr. Alcoholic Addict, and he talked about acceptance and how he had to accept his wife and the way she woke up in the morning, and he had to leave the coffee on the bedside table, and it had to be the right temperature, and it couldn't be too full, and I thought, my gosh, you're talking about me and the people that are around me and how controlling we can be. And I have come to love that chapter in the big book probably more than any other. In fact, so many times in meetings I've started, if it's my choice about what we're going to talk about, it's going to be acceptance. And so as things go in this program, I've learned more about acceptance than I ever thought I would have to learn. And I want to say more than I ever wanted to learn. but it started the very first day that I came, because I got to see how, by mistake, I thought I was going to the sister program. And I came in and was surrounded with these women. There were some men then, too. I was surrounded with these people who they already looked happy, joyous, and free. And the other thing was, I was the fattest person in the room. I had never been in a 12-step food-type meeting where there were people in physical recovery. I didn't know what happened. People said they were recovering, and I thought they probably were, but nobody really was losing weight. So I felt compelled to stay until I saw that little gray book, and I had a food plan, and that night I looked at it, and I called the person who was my sponsor, and I said, you don't understand, I can't do this. I have proven I cannot follow a food plan. I've been, like others have said, on every diet there is. And I am a real compulsive eater. And my sponsor at that time, who doesn't even remember saying this, said, that's good. That's how it should be. You get down on your knees and you pray. You tell God that you can't do it, and you ask for help. But here's the key. Then you get up, and you act as if it's already taken care of. And you know, I started doing that. Of course, I had my day of eating before I started. So after I had my day of eating and I started, I did that every meal. And it took a few days before I had the feeling of it being taken away, of the compulsion. But today, I'm going to say 98% of the time, I don't even care to eat things that aren't on my food plan. And if I have a problem at all, it's that I lose too much weight. And in my life, I never thought this would be something that I would experience. So today I accept my food plan, And that was the beginning for me of really, really applying the steps and of really, really finding a God of my understanding who would take care of me and walk with me through just about anything. Probably, like many others, I thought that if I lost all the weight that I had to lose, everything in my life would be good. I would have self-esteem and self-confidence, and I would be secure, and I would think I look good, and you know, I wouldn't have any of the problems I ever had. And the trouble is, I lost the weight in that first year. I forgot to tell you I didn't qualify. I've been in the program since May of 2011. I lost all my weight that first year. By Christmas of 2011, I was at that first goal weight. And I was a normal size. I have actually, in this program, lost 70 pounds. And I've been saying for a long time that overall I've lost 90, but it's actually 100 now. Thank you. And that's God. That's not Lisa. But, you know, I lost the weight, and here I have these saggy arms, and I have wrinkles on my face, and then I start obsessing over that and thinking, oh my God, now I have to have plastic surgery so I can get this taken care of and get my knees pulled back up where they belong, and I'm certainly going to have a facelift and smooth out these lips. And, you know, it goes on and on and on, and I realized finally that this is who I am. This is the body and the face. This is who I am today. And I look in my little baby girl's eyes. I've got two little tiny baby grandchildren. I've got big ones, medium ones, and now little babies. And I watch them every week, and they are the gift of my life. But my granddaughter, who is two, is the eyes and the heart of my higher power. And she loves me, I mean, so much that when she had a new baby brother and I would touch him, oh my God. Which made it difficult to take care of him, too. But, you know, she doesn't care if I have any wrinkles in my face. And the thing that has prevented me from having any plastic surgery on my sagging arms or my knees is that I wouldn't be able to take care of my babies. And I love them more than you can even shake a stick. But I just adore them. So I have the saggy skin, but I pray that God will every day remind me that this is who I am, and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I am coming to love myself more every day. I really am. This year, also, I've had to start dealing with some chronic pain issues, and I was saying to somebody earlier, I never thought that I would have to deal with chronic pain. It never even occurred to me. And then the caveat to that is I did have migraines for many years. So I can't take any of the NSAIDs, which are the normal things that people take for pain, which has meant that I have to go to different lengths to take care of things just so that I can keep, taking care of my babies. That's number one. But I'm very active, and I want to continue to be active because that helps me with my head recovery. So acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And what I take from that is that if I can accept that I have this issue, it's not something that I would even want to have surgically corrected, but it's just, it's my back. If I have this issue and I have to accept it, does that mean I like it? No, it really doesn't mean I like it. It just means that I can't do anything about it. I'm accepting the things I can't change, and I'm going to change the things I can, which is I'm going to stay busy, and I'm going to stay active, and I'm going to take care of my babies, and I'm going to keep moving forward. And then I have to ask or add my final thing. I have a dear niece, and anybody who's on the phone bridge hears about this over and over and over again. My niece is 28 years old. She got married at 26, and I was in Montana for a wedding. 2 weeks later, exactly, she was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. And we've known from the beginning that it was going to take her out. I wish I could show you a picture of her. Oh my God, she's the most precious child on the face of the earth. And an attitude that is, it's just beyond anything I can describe. She is the light in our family. She's my sister's baby girl. And I'm as close to her as though she were my own daughter, because it's my sister, and my sister and I are Siamese twins born 10 years apart. We look alike, we have the same loud voice, we act alike, and we're very, very close. And I ask God why I need to accept this. And the reason I need to accept this is for peace. I need to accept it because not accepting it won't do anything except make things more difficult for me and for my sister and for my niece. And by accepting it, I can look for what God's miracles are inside of it. And one of them is, you wouldn't even think of this, but I get to remember every day just how precious she is to me. And she and I text all the time, and we text silly things. I sent her a picture of me that little baby Colette took of me. And it's the ugliest, funniest picture you ever saw. It's only this much of my face, and all you see is teeth and eyes. I sent that to her, and I said, I thought you needed a good laugh today. And I said, if you post this, you're a dead girl. But I, you know, we don't know what number of days we have. We just don't know that. And when you find out that somebody's life is limited, you so have an opportunity to love them, to let them know every day that you can how much they mean to you. And that's the gift that I've been given. The other little gift is that I can be in service to my sister. I'm her person. I'm her person. She tells all the things she can't say otherwise. And that is a gift from God. It's just a gift. I'm going to wrap this up and say, if I were not in this program, and if I were not working it to the best of my ability, and if I were not working on things like acceptance, this journey with my niece would be so, so different. And today I am, in spite of circumstances, I am happy, joyous, and free. That's all I've got. Thanks.
I'm crying. Anyway, thank you for seeing an example of acceptance. Thank you all for being here. God bless you.